Start at the key point.
The legit man is proud. Look, I see someone looking back at me. Nation states and borderline. Divide states of mind. Politics comes to blows. Everybody wants to know whose world is it?
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 and 101.1 FM, Bathrop Spears Broadsides with Robert North and a couple of special guests, which you just have to stay tuned to find out more about them. If you want that Democracy Now! Show, that's what you were listening to. It's a rebroadcast, but you can get it. It's actually archived on the internet at www.democracynow.org. Great stuff, and I recommend you check it out. Stay with us.
Wars have been fought based on previous wars that have been fought over food or shelter or the desire to possess gold. War perpetuates itself and needs to end. The song is called War. Turn tonight, covers up over my head. You might think that it's all right to shake me now, wake me up, but wait a while instead. Mama, don't you wake me up. Please don't wake me up. The world is turning inside out. The sky's turning gray, yeah. And we might die today. Haunted nightmares, I've had them before. Seeking shelter from the neutron bomb. Uniforms and righteous wars. Blood runs red. No one wins. My hope lies just beyond. Mama, don't you wake me up. Please don't wake me up. The world turning inside out. A flag in battle raised. And we might die today. I dream of children out in the streets. Orphan, hungry, starved by war. Reflected terror in their tiny tears. Running from the unseen foe. Safe in a stranger's arms. Mama, don't you wake me up. Please don't wake me up. The world is turning inside out. The wind cries out in pain. We might die today. London Bridge is falling down. Battlefield and unmarked graves. There upon those hallowed grounds, people stand in candlelight to pray for peace again. Mama, don't you wake me up. Please don't wake me up. The world is turning inside out. And no one knows the way, yeah. So I might toss and turn tonight. Covers up over my head. And you might think that it's alright to shake me now and wake me up. But wait a while instead. Ooh, mama, don't you wake me up. Please don't wake me up. The world is turning inside out. The sky is turning gray, yeah. And we might die. We might die. We might die today.
And that was the music of Mike True, Social and Political. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse, a.k.a. Bathrobes Pierre, so called for my occasional public appearances in bathrobes when we're doing those sleep-out protests that try to remind the community and the city council, usually without success, of the fact that Santa Cruz is one of the many communities that criminalizes homeless people who sleep at night outside or in their own vehicles or attempt to tent together for shelter. So, got a lot of guests in the studio today. We're going to be sort of rolling through one after another. I think I did the usual pile-up number, thought I didn't have any, and now I've suddenly got three. That's great. We have 3.5 hours ahead of us on this show. It runs till 1 o'clock. The main topics are civil rights on the streets, police misconduct, local news around Santa Cruz, particularly that which affects poor and houseless people. And the guests we have with us in the studio are Glenn Rabinold, Ed Oberweiser, and Coral Brune. Actually, Coral may be playing co-host here. I don't know, particularly if I decide to go out and do some golfing. There are some golf improvements that are going to be coming down in the $300,000 golf improvements voted by the city council last council session. No money for shelter, but $300,000 for the golf course. I think, you know, that's just a reasonable use of public resources. I mean, why spend money on, useless mouths, as Fuhrer, Chancellor Hitler used to put it. Anyway, the number to call for Free Radio Santa Cruz is 427-3772, 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're broadcasting at 96.3 FM and 101.1 FM, and also we're streaming at www.freakradio.org. You can email us at frsc@freakradio.org. And again, the main number to call if you want to be on the air is 427-3772. You can make checks payable to us at Free Radio Santa Cruz. Write them out to Free Radio Santa Cruz, or FRSC, and mail them to, grab your pencils now, and whip out your checkbooks, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And if you forget any of those numbers, the Free Radio voicemail will help you out. It's a fairly easy number to remember. It's 427-4523. 427-4523 gives you the details on that. And in case you have messages for me, or you've got stuff you want to put on my particular show, which I do twice a week show, one's on Thursday, 6 to 8 in the evenings, and the other one is today on Sundays, you can call me off air at the Huff line, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at, appropriately enough, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. So I'll be repeating some of these numbers throughout the morning, and hoping you might want to get in touch. You can also email in if you're long distance, or if you just feel like emailing in, you got longer stuff, or you're just an email freak. rnorse2 is the email, R-N-O-R-S-E, 2, number 2, rnorse2 at hotmail.com, rnorse2 at hotmail.com. I'll be checking that hopefully every so often. I'll remind my co-participants here to keep an eye on this item here. If you see it flashing, it means that the phone is coming on and I should be paying attention to it. We have a silent phone so that the ring does not distract us, though sometimes it rings anyway just for the heck of it. But the number to call in again is 427-3772. We'll probably be receiving a call from a woman on a Dominican psych ward who is concerned about her situation there, probably being held on a 5150, which is the involuntary hold. Looks like we've got a call right now. Let's see who's on the line. you're on free radio, or you were anyway. And occasionally that happens. We don't reach fast enough. Again, if you want to talk to me off air, you can either call the Huff line, or if you want, wait till a recorded segment of the show comes up. And that usually happens quite frequently. I got a lot of tapes here that I throw on. Interviews from the streets is something I do a lot of. Just wait till you hear an interview from the street coming on, and then quickly dial 427-3772, and you'll probably catch me if I'm not in the bathroom or engaging in illicit sexual behavior in the back. You can catch me actually off-air in the studio, which is, of course, quite a privilege, and I won't be charging you for it. Anyway, let me... I'm going to begin with Ed here. Is that okay with you, Glenn, to begin with Ed? Okay, how about you, Coral? You okay with that? You get consensus here. And so we have a very democratic rule here, except that I make the decisions. So Ed, let's check your mic. Are you say something significant into the mic?
Hello, Robert, and thanks for having me on your show today.
Good. Move a little closer. Imagine you're making love to that sweet.
Oh, baby. How's that?
That's good. That's good. Now, give it a big kiss. No, you don't have to give it a kiss. That's okay. Just keep close to the mic. Boy, I better turn that mic down. It's getting pretty passionate here. Ed, you are the, I was saying earlier, the publisher, but you're not. You're the editor of the Green Press, right?
The co-editor. Elaine Tarkowski is the other co-editor.
Elaine Tarkowski and you are co-editors.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the Green Press is a sort of a subversive sort of supplement that I've seen in different places, in the Connection magazine, inside Comic News, on bathroom walls. Tell me about a little bit about the Green Press.
Well, the Green Press is an alternative news and commentary publication. We feel that since there's now 12 conglomerations that control most of the media in the world, we need some diverse voices, and we try to get diverse voices in the Green Press. Tom Zajac, the publisher of the Comic News, graciously gives us, he donates 12 pages to us in the Comic News. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. We couldn't afford to put on our own publication. We'd like to expand beyond the Comic News. Sometimes we've gotten enough donations from our readers to buy pages in the Connection magazine. That's why you've seen us there a couple times.
Hang on just a second. We got a caller here. Callers often take precedence. Hi there, caller. You're on free radio.
Your email is down.
Uh-oh. My email is down. All right. We're going to try an emergency alternate email. Try rnorse@hotmail.com rather than rnorse2, and we'll wind our way over to that.
All right.
Unless you want to talk on the air, caller, I'll give you a moment if you'd like.
Why don't you get my email first?
Okay. Sounds
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, I think what's happened here is the email isn't down, it's just full. I've reached that point, which is going to make it a little more difficult to get the emails and a little more laborious. So bear with me, listeners. Sorry that this is, we have our usual technical wrangles and tangles. Okay, so Ed, you're a publication that exists simply through the generosity of the Santa Cruz Comic News?
Yes.
And how long has the Green Press been pressing?
I'm not sure how long it's been. I called Ray Newkirk, founded it, and I came in October of 2001. I don't know how long it had been going before that.
And you actually took it over more recently, right?
Yeah, Ray was the editor, and he quit to form a biofuels business. He wants to start selling fuel for automobiles made out of cooking grease instead of petroleum.
How about made out of city council waste products? Would that be...
I don't know.
A lot of those. You know.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of octane in it, wouldn't there?
Hey, well, it would be a pisser, I'll tell you. That would be interesting. I know, here's another phone call coming in. Let's see what we got. Maybe it's another announcement that the other email is down. Hi there, you're on free radio.
Hi, Robert. I'd like to sing a little song, a little ditty for y'all, and this is how it goes. Get out of the White House, you crazy cuckoo. Get out of the White House before we impeach you. You stole the election, you know you bought it. It wasn't an election, it was a coo-coo-ca-choo. Ha-choo! Get out of the White House, you crazy sleaze. Get out of the White House, it's time to leave. Excuse me, I have kind of a cold.
No problem.
If anyone agrees with me, please call me at 476-9950. I really need some help. Here I'm stuck in Dominican Behavioral Health behind the main hospital. And just tell the nurse, or if anybody agrees with me, please drop by a pack of Camel non-filters. or American Spirit non-filters, because my hands are shaking from all the medicines. And just ask the nurse, the person at the desk, to give them to me for when I leave, or ask if they can come in and see me. And my name is Leela, L-E-A-L-A, Percival, P as in Paul, E-R-C-E-F-U-L-L. I sing more of the song, but I have kind of a sore throat.
That's a great song.
Yeah, but darn it, I lost the key to my bicycle because my so-called social worker for the county won't give me any of my money, and I got darn conserved, which means I guess you have no basically no rights. And this is a really a pit, and be careful if you come in. There's cameras everywhere, and I'll show you where they are. Do you think you could come and visit me? Please, Robert?
Putting me on the spot, eh, Leela?
Well, maybe somebody could just drop, can't smoke in here, but maybe somebody could drop by either a pack of Camel Lung filters or American Spirit non filters. You can get them at Ron and Bridges on Soquel. If anybody wants to talk to me about the situation, just ask the nurse at the desk if they could see me. I have holes in my tennis shoes. And the key to my bicycle fell out of the holes in my tennis shoes.
Wow.
And then they have this so-called personal care group.
Leela, let me interrupt you for a minute.
I feel like I'm trapped, and I'll let somebody else talk now. But God bless and protect y'all.
Wait, don't.
I miss all my friends out there. If anybody wants to call me or drop by, I'd sure appreciate
Leela,
it.
Leela, before we... Before
and
we,
I need a pair of size
can you hear me? Hello?
Pants because my zipper broke.
Can you, Leela,
something that a belt can go on.
Leela, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure our line is working.
I'm kind of excited.
Wait a minute. Slow down. Whoa. Hang on. I want to ask you something. Can I?
Well, my zipper broke on my pants, and I need a pair of size 6 pants.
Let me ask you a question.
Did you like the song?
I like the song. Slow down. Whoa. Slow down a second.
Sorry.
Wait. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me
I
ask
need
you.
A pair of size
me,
6 pants that a belt
let,
would go on.
Let me ask you this, Leela. How long have you been on the ward?
I can't remember now. I just feel like I'm being tortured to death.
What kind of problems are you experiencing there?
My zipper broke on my jeans.
Got that.
They're size 4.
No. I mean problems in terms of let's say. Are the staff treating you right?
Staff pretty good, but when somebody. I think the key to my bicycle fell out of the holes in my shoe.
We got that. What about you were originally, why did they bring you to the ward? What happened?
Because I'm something called conserved, which means they take away all your rights.
Right, but what was the incident that led them to say, oh, we don't want...
Well, I was at this so-called place called El Dorado Center, which is kind of like a halfway house over in Live Oak, and I had the flu real bad, and I kept getting nauseous, and I'd go on in the bathroom, in the residence, and I was throwing up and everything, and hang on, it's really a bummer here, and I couldn't go to their groups in their trailer, so somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, we called your social worker because you weren't going to the groups therapy all the time. Excuse me, I have an ulcer. I need some Tums too.
Right. Well, so in other words, you're there because the board and care home you were at, what was it called?
No, I wasn't at a board and
I'm
care
sorry.
Home.
Where were you?
I was at this thing called Monarch Housing.
So you were in Monarch Housing.
And I paid 2 months rent, and I only spent 7 days there.
So you were 7 days in Monarch Housing, and because you weren't regularly
attending
groups?
In the last 2 months, and I think I should get a refund.
Because you weren't...
And the doctor won't give
Leela?
Me any Tums,
Leela,
and I have an
hold
ulcer.
It. Whoa.
Perforating.
Leela, because you weren't regularly attending meetings, then you got sent back to this Dominican psych ward?
Yeah. I had the flu, but I'm over the flu now, and I'm just praying that I get back to the place I was.
You want to give us a reprise of the song before we move on?
If anybody agrees with me, please call me at this number, 477-9950.
All righty, thanks, Leela.
And I need a pair of size 6 pants with a zipper, that a belt can go on.
All right.
And, okay,
we'll have
I can't remember all the song, but I'll try to remember what I can.
Okay.
Get out of the
lighthouse. And that was Leela Percival in Dominican, and she does, I'll try to get that number and pass it on to you. That's the Dominican Psych Ward payphone in case you want to call her and get in touch with her. We have another caller coming in now, and let's see what that's all about. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Your email is down.
Well, you're just going to have to read the email, Bob. I apologize.
It's a very interesting attachment regarding San Jose's reaction to MHC's attempt to erode mobile home rent control over the hill. Do you know about this?
No, I don't. It's particularly important for those who don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd enjoy the attachment. I send copies to each of the council members, by the way.
Well, let me introduce you for a moment, because you are a resident of De Anza, which locally got gutted by MHC, right?
Yeah. Once you have the steamroller of Rockin and Kennedy, and I've gone over this with you before, okay, it's one of those unfortunate things, but it is very interesting to see how San Jose reacted to MHC, as opposed to
sellout Santa Cruz City Council,
bastion of progressive values. Mm-hmm. Called Santa Cruz, which has problems with expressing itself locally.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have an email that works, Mr. Norris?
Well, you know, I thought I did because I used it this morning, but apparently not. I was able to email myself, and that was like an hour ago. But
which one was that?
Well, I used rnorris2@hotmail.com, but the problem is that may have filled it up. See, I mean, it was pretty close to the top.
Well, why don't you dump it now? Do you have a computer with you now?
Well, I do, but if I dump it, I will be dumping all my information for the show, which I need, see. That's the problem. Let me see if I can find a way to copy it and dump it, and we can talk about this later in the show. Would that be possible?
Yeah, tell you what. I'll try to send you this in another half an hour.
Okay, and again,
how's that?
For those who are interested, this is about the destruction of rent control at De Anza and how a huge corporation was able to pressure a progressive city council.
And by the way, the San Jose got back their $5,775,000 in attorney's fees.
Oh, so they won against MHC.
Yes, yes.
Well, someone should knock on John Barisoni's door and give him a telegram.
Well, as I've expressed, when you have Rockin, who is, what, five terms now?
He's now our new vice mayor.
Okay, and Kennedy.
He's our mayor.
Steamrolling an issue like this, and when you have the Resource Center for Nonviolence and SCAN and SEIU Local 415 taking a blind eye, ain't nothing going to happen.
I think some SCAN members supported the De Anza residents.
No, they didn't come out.
Yeah. Was it really?
I didn't see too much. I saw Chris Crone, who was basically playing the fringe, and in one sense, more power to the guy.
Right.
It's an unfortunate situation. I don't think it will ever be settled the way that this went down, the method and manner that it went down under. But as I said before, I think that when it got right down to it, that the board over here probably made the correct decision, and I know that we went along with it, as unfortunate as this all is. But this came into my hands last night, and I sent copies out to all the council members. I think it's very interesting, you know, Santa Cruz with Kennedy and Palestine and Iraqi pronouncements and let's impeach Bush. When the rubber meets the road right here in good old Santa Cruz, if it's not expedient, they ain't there.
It's let the homeless freeze and to hell with the seniors' homes is what it is here in Santa Cruz.
And it was time for Rockin. And Rockin's all about polls, right? If the polls are for it, then I'm for it. So clearly this was an expedient move to dump on about 300 people and basically just to alienate them and let them float down the river.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see what happened over the hill. Right.
Well, you know,
MHC has a park with 900 residents, and the city of San Jose, which is about 900,000 people, mm-hmm. came to their rescue.
Let me ask you, Bob. Let Ed here. We got Ed Oberweiser in the studio, the editor of the Green Press. Ed, you have some comments and you have a suggestion for Bob here.
Bob, I'd like you to email that same email you're going to send to Robert to me at the Green Press. We'd like to publish some stuff on
this
issue.
Well, I think this to me is, you know, San Jose, by the way, has had rent control for a couple of decades, right, for quite a while. Anyway, what's your email? I'll get you a copy of this.
Okay, you ready?
Go ahead.
E LAINED at got.net. That's GOT.NET.
Elaine D.
Elaine D. Right. That's Elaine A.
All right.
That's two co-editors.
got.net. And what's yours, Mr. North?
Well,
it's functional.
Once it starts to function, it may take later in the day.
R-Norse 2
at hotmail.com.
All right, I'll try that in half an hour.
Okay, I wish you luck. I may not
right.
have time to do it before then, but please, you know, speak more on
that. Yeah, you'll find this really interesting. The judge, in fact, the judge ruled that the city should be awarded the $5,775,000 in attorney's fees.
Well, I think MHC should give a special award to Kennedy Rotkin and, the, of course, DeAnne's board of directors that also sold out.
Like I say, I mean, this was put in a precarious position. And the method and manner that it went down was what is the key question in all this. But you had a city council in a so-called progressive town that voted 6-1 on
right.
this issue when it was put onto them by Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Rockin. And when you have Kennedy and Rockin, who claim to be and who are supporters of
right.
issues like rent control,
well,
capitulating to the degree that they did,
yeah.
it was essentially over with September 3rd.
No, I don't think so. I think you had a referendum that you could, if you had stalled, if this referendum was on the ballot now and this information came out about San Jose, you'd have a very, very different situation.
Well, you may well be right. In hindsight, as the dust maybe never settles on this, as to how this went down, I think the way the majority felt out here was that without this 34-year lease, we would have been left to the devices of a rather ruthless organization, by the way.
The nice thing
about rent control for DeAnza was that you had something, you had a buffer between MHC and the park.
Well, look, Bob, call back when we got more information, and
yeah.
definitely send this to the.
Yeah, you and I are going to like this.
Yeah, send
I
this,
mean, I,
Bob.
This is classic.
Right, send this to the Green Press as well. And
I
also want other people out there to know that if they have information that they think the community should know about, the Green Press is a good place to send stuff to. What's the email address again, Ray? Ed of the Green Press.
That's ELAINED at GOT. N-E-T.
All right, Robert. So try at 10:30. You should have another email from me.
Sounds good.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, Bob. And you're tuned to Free Radio 96.3. We got the happiest studio in town, I'll tell you. Actually, we have a special guest visit from one of our locals. You want to? Did you drop in to kind of hang out, or you got a quick news bulletin? What's the deal? We got Jerry Henry in the studio. Jerry is the man who... is Colleen Cosby of the Coffee Roasting Company's closest friend. Actually, he's a man who's been barred from, until recently, from the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Coffee Roasting Company and other businesses, and been conducting a long, long legal fight. Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good, Robert. I stopped by mainly because of Jimmy. All week, ever since Thanksgiving and hearing the news about Jim, that
Jimmy Klein, or Crazy Jimmy, as some have called him.
You know, I know somewhat what it's like not to be allowed in buildings, what it's like to live in this society and not be accepted in buildings.
Jimmy Klein, by the way, died of exposure in the Poganip, I guess Sunday or Monday night, about a week ago. Is that accurate, Jerry?
Yeah, that's what I understand. I don't know all the details. I thought it was real interesting when I was at Thanksgiving dinner. The Channel 8 news guy told me that his name was actually, that was actually Crosetti's son.
Who is Crosetti?
From what I understand, one of the, you know, the owners of Watsonville.
Okay.
And that was actually Crosetti's son.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider that a pretty reliable source when somebody like that tells me that's who it is.
Well, we had with us, as I've mentioned before, Ed of the Green Press. Ed, one of the things that I've often liked about the Green Press, but have recently of late been disappointed in, frankly, is the lack of local news around civil rights for homeless issues. And this, of course, is, I know you came in the studio and you looked at this latest flyer I'd put out about the death of Jimmy, and also, of course, the death of Linda Sippos, which is C.J. Stock, the musician's wife who died apparently at what sounds like negligence at Dominican Hospital. Again, a homeless person camping out with insufficient shelter and with treated like shit by authorities. What are the chances of getting some regular coverage of the homeless scene, even if it ruffles the feathers of the Rotkin Kennedy mob?
Well, very good. If you send them to us, we're going to print something you and Becky just sent to us about the eight stories. That's going to be the next issue.
Wow.
We'd like to see more of that. We had trouble sometimes with our publisher. You've made some enemies, Robert Norris, and he's
wait a minute, Tom, our Comic News, that great liberal who gathers cartoons from all over the nation. How could he be an enemy of, those of us fighting for civil rights in Santa Cruz?
I don't know, but Ray and I had to do some serious talking to get your articles included sometimes.
I see. You know, actually, Tom's a nice guy. I say hello to him when I see him. I've always asked him to try to get some cartoons that are local. That's spelled L-O-C-A-L into the Comic News that aren't just the fashionable attacks on Bush. I mean, good attacks, brilliant attacks, great cartoon attacks. I love them. But nothing about, our local city council and where you could have some real strong impact. I mean, it's published here, for God's sake. Can we get some cartoons, you think, in your section in the Green Press? Would that be possible?
We don't have any volunteer cartoonists, but if we did, please send them.
You're that cartoonist? All right, Mr. Quinn, he's a local caricaturist. Get to work. I want you to do some work on cartoons on the...
Give him the address to send them to.
Give us the email again and the address.
Okay, if you want to send any aspiring cartoonists, we'd like to send us some cartoons to the Green Press. It's P.O. Box 2124, Santa Cruz 95063.
P.O. Box 2124, 95063. And again, your email is...
ELAINED at GOT.NET.
At GDT dot
GOT.
GOT dot got net.
Got net.
Gotcha. So
we also have a website. It's www.greenpress.org.
Okay.
Greenpress, all one word.
.org. Okay, we got www.greenpress.org. We got Elaine Ed T. Is that right?
No, Elaine.
Elaine Ed at GOT.net. So if you want to see some local news, not just coming at you twice a week through my questionable show, and you want to see something in print that people can read and that would get a much broader audience, you got to send it to the Green Press. The Sentinel isn't going to print it. The Metro is going to sneeze at you. The Good Times won't even notice you. The Mercury News never knew you existed, but the Green Press will get it into play, and you can actually write it up yourself if you send it to the Indie Media website, www.santacruz, one word, small letters, santacruz.indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, which does a lot of very current stuff, because good as the Green Press can be, and I've seen some good articles, particularly by me in the Green Press, you can't be as up to date as you'd like to be, because there's a 2 or 3 week lag.
A month lag, where it only come out once a month.
Once a month? The Comic News guys comes out every 2 weeks, I was thinking, I guess.
Yeah, but we only get one.
You get one. I guess they've cut you back.
Yeah, there's another publication called The Meridian that he gives 12 pages to once a month.
A good international publication and national issues. But again, there's plenty of people covering international and national issues. Just nobody covering Santa Cruz that I can see, except Green Press, Indie Media, and of course yours truly. I guess there are a few other folks up at the university. Jerry, you were involved this... I'm jumping around with issues here because I got the people in the studio. I apologize to the audience out there if it's a little confusing. But you were at a protest this Friday, 2 days ago, at the kind of town clock, and then across the street where the big Christmas tree was being lit, and Santa Santa for the kiddies that the Downtown Association sponsored. We, on the other hand, Joe Schultz was providing some soup. Huff was providing some signs. Actually, those are from the Human Rights Organization against the sleeping van. We were trying to dramatize the deaths of people and the need to do something about decriminalization of the homeless. What can the community do to stop these deaths? What can the community do to stop the kind of discrimination you and other disabled and homeless people face in local businesses? Any thoughts?
I think ultimately that we have to... We have to go to the upholding of the UNRRA Civil Rights Act, and that the indiscriminate discrimination of our disabled and stuff in this community just is not acceptable. I was speaking to a local pastor, last night, and I I asked him, he had done street ministry in Santa Cruz, and I says, can you imagine what it'd be like to be on these streets for 20 years and not be allowed in any buildings? Just because you're disabled, and I think it's an absolute atrocity. And I believe it's truly the issue that really needs addressing, that just because somebody doesn't seem acceptable to these, I call them yuppies, the tourist we seem to be soliciting to. I know my conviction is looking drunk and homeless to a tourist and refusing to leave, and I don't think we can succumb to that anymore, that at some point they've got to say this is enough, that people have a right to live, and how do you live in this society that's been built and then banishes you from going in buildings?
And we're talking about, actually, you're being outside a building in the shopping center, seated on a car, if I'm not mistaken, in the Rancho Del Mar Aptus shopping center, right?
Yeah, but I also know other people in this community. I know a half a dozen of them offhand. I'm not willing to bring up their names because I don't feel that it's my right, but that are just not allowed in buildings, not because they're criminals or anything, because they happen to be disabled and they're not pleasing to the so-called tourist. And this banishment just needs to cease. I think the roasting companies let it over the years.
The Santa Cruz Coffee Roasting Company?
Yeah, I think pre-earthquake when they had the guy with the hose that was purposely out there to wet down the sidewalk as undesirables. I think humanity has to start here, and I think that the UNRRA Civil Rights Act is the basis of humanity.
And of course, the UNRRA Civil Rights Act is a law that allows you to civilly sue for damages for discrimination.
Well, it also calls for the district attorney, if the UNRRA Civil Rights
for criminal prosecution.
Well, to uphold it. I'm trying every way I can to see if I can't get this done.
I'm sure Bob Lee will rush right out and help out with that. A big fan as he is of the homeless and the poor. I think the UNRRA Civil Rights Act was mainly used with respect to African Americans, Latinos, women, perhaps gays, and I do admit, I think there was one case of a hippie that, you know, got, but this was years ago. I have not heard it. We've had this conversation before, the UNRRA Civil Rights Act being recently used anywhere successfully, but I would love to hear about it. Have you heard anything more since our last chat?
Well, I picked up some papers. I've got them down in my car, and evidently they updated it in 97, and there's a new book out. And,
great.
You know, it doesn't just say that it says the indiscriminate discrimination, and it specifically says that it's not just to that category of people, and anybody that conspires to uphold this, to violate the UNRRA Civil Rights Act is supposed to be dealt with by the district attorney or the attorney general. I think when we have these businesses that have these signs that says we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody, that is literally the definition of indiscriminate discrimination. And I think I would really hope that there's an outpouring of calling for this community, the leaders that are supposed to lead this community, to uphold the Civil Rights Act in this community.
Well, I think we need some new leaders, and I think we need some new action from the rank and file in the community. And I think that, also this, we're talking about months and years for prosecutions. It sounds, I mean, it could be weeks if Bob Lee got off the stick, but you know, I don't think it's likely he's going to. Although, people, I guess, could call in and tell Lee, why aren't you making sure that homeless people aren't being discriminated against in local businesses and accommodations and in other public places?
But it's not
part of the discriminatory machine. I mean, it's kind of like calling the Nazis and saying, why are you, you know, those Jews are being persecuted. Now, it's hard to think that would make any difference.
It's not just the homeless either. You know, I'm convicted of looking drunk and homeless. I'm neither. I think what's being done to the disabled community in this community is just atrocious.
Ed suggested here of that we put out Bob Lee's phone number so people can call in and indeed suggest that he get off the stick and start addressing local discrimination. Anybody out there has a phone book and wants to call in and give us the DA's phone number, I don't have a phone book in the studio, I'll be happy to put it out here on the air for people to give a call to. It's possible you can leave messages. The Board of Supervisors make sure you can't leave messages after 5 o'clock or before 8 o'clock in the morning. Whereas the Santa Cruz City Council will take your messages and ignore them. The Board of Supervisors won't even let you leave a message. I've suggested to our fine $70,000 a year supervisor, Marty Wormhout, that, you know, perhaps that she could, you know, splurge and put in an answering machine for the Board of Supervisors. But so far, they are keeping a tight rein on those kinds of costly expenditures. So we haven't got that yet at the Board of Supes. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. In the studio is Jerry Henry, out of the Green Press, Glenn, a homeless activist or homeless individual advocate who will be talking about some concerns he has and some surveying he's been doing. And, of course, the infamous musician and who knows what she's up to, Coral Brun, who... I don't know what, well, we'll see. And actually, half these people aren't really in the studio because we're not supposed to have so many people in the studio, so ignore what I just said. We have an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Good morning, Robert. This is Paul Marcelin Sampson.
Well, I'm glad you didn't come into the studio, Paul. We'd be completely, it'd be phone booth city, and how many people can we ram in here? Paul, you're with the Metro Riders Union.
Yes, indeed.
And you have been riding around on the bus, I hope, not using your car?
I don't have a car.
Well, all right.
Never have.
Make sure you haven't bought one in the last couple weeks.
No intention to.
All right. So there was a Metro meeting of Rotkin and his cronies, last Friday?
Or? Yes, last Friday.
And,
yeah.
And what kind of exciting adventures did you have with them?
Well, the meeting was held in Watsonville. I'll point out that about one-third of the bus rides that are taken in Santa Cruz are on bus lines that serve Watsonville. Some that go between Santa Cruz and Watsonville and some that remain within Watsonville. But there's only one board meeting every year in Watsonville. So this was the special meeting. There were no other transit riders there except for, you know, the regular transit advocate folks like myself. There were no ordinary riders. And, of course, Spanish-speaking people had to speak through an interpreter. So I scared the board by introducing myself in Spanish and saying that, first of all, I looked forward to the time when one-third of the meetings would be held in Watsonville, and when some of the meetings would be held in Spanish so that some of the board members would need an interpreter for a change. You should have seen the look on people's faces, but I had a little fun with that. The substantial decision that was made at the meeting was to explore taking over, having Metro take over the paratransit service. That is service for people who have severe disabilities that prevent them from using accessible buses. It's a basically door-to-door service, customized, and you book your trip a day in advance. And that service today is provided by Community Bridges, and they're having some serious financial problems.
Wow. Now, you publish your newsletter in English and Spanish, right?
We do.
And again, let's begin this way so people can grab their pencils. Go get your pencil if you want to be in touch with what's been going on and you haven't been following all the details or you want more details. What's your website and how can people get in touch with you?
Website is www.metroridersunion.org. Telephone number is 831-421-9031. And email address is info@metroridersunion.org. If Glenn is still in the studio also, I have his email and we'll be working on something so that he can sign up. Unfortunately, the website is hosted by Yahoo, and in return for their free service, people have to register. It's a free registration process. You don't have to get any advertising or other propaganda, but you do have to go through the registration. So I'm going to be helping people if they have difficulties with that.
And we've had the same problem with the Huff website, which I should mention now. If you're interested in Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which puts out a lot of writing on these issues of civil rights and discrimination and why isn't the city council doing something about obvious human rights violations locally, that website is www.huffsantacruz, small letters, one word, huffsantacruz.org. Huff, www.huffsantacruz.org. And we have the same Yahoo registration. If you want to go into the back archives to really see what's been going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to go register on Yahoo, but I guess if you can't do it, I don't know, find someone to help you. I had to, you know, go to someone else to figure out.
Oh, yeah, well, I'd be happy to set up email accounts for people. If you know, give me permission to do that, I'll be happy to set up an email account for, you know, anybody who needs one on Yahoo, and then you'll be able to access Huff.
Sure.
And ours as well.
You have
so
my permission
to
do that. As far as I'm concerned, it's fine. I don't think other Huff members are going to object if you do call in and chastise me. Your phone number is 421-9031,
yeah.
And if people want to call you to get some advice on how to set up a Yahoo account or get involved with any of these websites more effectively, or I guess email lists, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, and I also wanted to say I was just listening to the discussion, and it is just such a pleasure to hear people who are aware of our civil rights in California. The UNRRA Civil Rights Act is a wonderful piece of legislation. It's one of the few things that really, really, really makes me proud to be a Californian. And I just want people to know that next time you see a sign that says, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone," point out to the business owner that that is against the law in California. And you can go to the Department of Fair Employment and Housing website. If you ever need assistance in filing a complaint, they will serve as your advocate if you experience discrimination of that sort. And that website is www.dasandavidfasandfrankeh.ca. Yes.
I thought they only threw me out of those cases.
I was thrown out for looking like a student. I have not been a university student in well nigh 7 years, but they have an anti-student policy there, and I threatened to file a complaint and, you know, didn't follow through with it. There are only so many battles that a person can take on, but the state, you know, the state seemed to be, you know, to have a lot of information on its website and to be willing to help people.
What were you doing? Were you acting suspiciously, like reading a book?
I was reading a book and using my laptop. And I had purchased at least $8 worth of food there, because the food is very expensive. You buy a coffee and a muffin or whatever, you've already spent $8.
Well, so what exactly was the nature of, was this an interchange with Manafree Srinath, who's the...
No, it was one of the younger employees, a younger white male with blonde hair, and my partner and I were both at the table. I don't know which of us looked more like a student at the time, but neither of us qualified.
Wait a minute. Now, so this was what time of the... The reason I'm asking you this is I've gotten a whole series of complaints about Lulu Carpenters. I mean, I actually had no trouble at Lulu Carpenters until I learned that two homeless/peace activists who had been doing the homeless peace vigil back in March had actually been assaulted by the owner, Manafree Srinath.
I remember reading about that, and there were some issues. Yeah.
And so I went over to interview him, and he ordered me off the property. He didn't say, "I don't want to talk to you, have a cup of coffee and relax." He just said, "Get off my property." And I said, "I'm on the sidewalk, Manafree." That's my property. And I said, no, you're not. It's not your property. You know, that's public sidewalk. I'm calling the police. And I said, "Well, say hello to them for me. When they get here, we can all have a cup of coffee, you know, or something." But not on me, that's for sure. Anyway, Manafree actually threw coffee on this individual.
That's what I remember reading.
And, you know, I was there shortly after it happened. I didn't see it happen, and they're disputed accounts, but I've heard so many different accounts from former employees who have been treated badly, from individual customer students, even real students, I guess, not phony students like yourself, would-be students, crypto students, but you know, who've been thrown out. I guess he had a policy at 6 o'clock. We don't let no stinking students stay. Was that the
basically? Yeah, they would start enforcing in the evenings when it was crowded, and especially if they had performers or other folks there. And again, it's all a matter of appearance. If you know appear to be older, don't have a backpack, you can read the library book is usually what sets them off. And if you appear to be older, don't have a backpack, etc., you can sit as long as you want. And I observed that people who have laptop computers of you know certain brands and again, may not have the backpack or the library book will be allowed to stay as long as they wish. But if you've got anything that suggests that you're younger, a student backpack, you know, then you know, you're flagged. And I have seen them send other people out of the store also.
Huh. You know, I would like those of you outside who have been discriminated against at Little Carpenters, if you don't call into a show or else call the Huff line at 423-HUFF. I'd like to get some kind of stats on this. We actually had a similar call for those who've been discriminated at the bookshop Santa Cruz. I too have been I'm persona non grata at the bookshop Santa Cruz, which ironically I support in a certain sense. I mean, I boycott the place as well, but I support it by not patronizing Borders because I don't believe in patronizing big chains. Though I love those soft seats where I go into Borders and read their books. They got great books, and I appreciate
that. At Borders Cafe, one can stay as long as one wishes, and that is one difference. And you know, you know, we can say what we like about corporate, you know, large corporations. I don't like them either. But when my partner and I go out to Borders and order coffee, we can spend an evening there. We can bring books up. We are treated pleasantly by the staff, and there's no notion of booting people out.
I mean, I know it has happened, but I mean, usually that, I know they had some problems with their bathrooms and they closed their bathrooms.
Yeah.
And they did, I mean, and again, the bathroom problem in Santa Cruz, which has gotten somewhat better, not significantly better, but somewhat better over the years through the opening of the bathrooms and the parking garages. I guess there are two parking garages that now have bathrooms open, not 24-hour bathrooms as are needed. There are a couple of porta potties that are theoretically 24 hours still, one in back of Logos, I think, and the other three have been dumped. There used to be five. But, you know, I can understand Borders having some problems with their bathrooms because of their, you know, there's so little city support. And in Santa Barbara, you have bathrooms that are supported by the city.
Go to a tourist town like Calistoga, and, you know, it's a rich folks town, but even there, you arrive, you get off the bus, and there are public facilities everywhere. Beautiful library open, public bathrooms at several locations, and this is a tiny town, and, you know, these resources are supported by the people because people realize that when you provide public services, you make people feel good, whether it's shoppers or the homeless or anyone else who needs them.
The Santa Cruz City Council would like to help, but there are the golf courses to maintain. I mean, we have to keep those things in mind, and there our priorities. This Christmas season, private charity, as the former President Bush used to put it, we have 1,000 points of light, and there's, you know, we can save on some of the lighting bill by turning off the city lights in the meantime. Of course, what goes on in the dark is, we won't get into that.
So my real piece of advice, I mean, is you know, to vote, for people to vote with their wallets, and I have not set foot in Lulu's in over a year and a half since this incident. And I expend my money elsewhere. And I think that is the best message that any of us can send out. If we all did that, that business would collapse very quickly.
There was actually Ed here, who's working with the Green Press, wants to know who is the Green Press, I should say, who's certainly a major part of it, where he can get access to the UNRRA Civil Rights Act. And I guess other listeners might be interested in that, too. I mean, I would suggest you go to Santa Cruz state laws, and you can find the legal codes, and you can find it there. But is there a place where it's discussed, and there are, you know, specifics on how to use it effectively, how it's been used recently? Any ideas?
The website is the one that I gave earlier, is kind of a clearinghouse on the public side for information about that, and there are examples of cases, and there's a brochure. I'll do more research and get your exact addresses, like within the site. I've just given the main address to the site, and I'll repeat it in a second. But there is a wonderful brochure that quotes the act, and that's the beautiful part, just the language, to realize we are protected in California. Virginia. And, you know, that's just very important for people to see the text and realize that this was implemented many, many, many years ago. This is not a modern piece of legislation. So this brochure from the state, which you can download online, quotes the act, and then it gives examples of cases and discusses, you know, who is protected and under what circumstances and what kinds of businesses, et cetera. I'll get the exact address of the brochure, but once again, the main website is www.dfeh.ca.gov. DFEH stands for Department of Fair Employment and Housing.
And again, that's www.dfeh.ca.gov.
Yes.
Okay, so we kind of went a bit far afield from your usual field of expertise. You, of course, are a person who works on public transportation and having access by riders and other users and members of the community for public transportation. Now, actually, we have Jerry Henry just stepped in with a copy of the Unruh Civil Rights Act, which Ed was actually looking for, amazingly enough, serendipitously enough. Any comments for Jerry? Paul, Jerry was, we have a caller who just called in. I'm talking to Jerry here in the studio now, who expressed some real appreciation that you had brought up these issues and thinks that they are really significant issues and that this is a much underused act. So the two of you perhaps probably get together. I also want to say to anybody who wants to get in touch with Jerry Henry, and he's not giving out his home phone, but you can leave a message for him on the Huff line, and I will pass it on to him. Is that okay with you, Jerry?
That's fine.
That's great. That's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Jerry, have you met Paul Marcelin Sampson, the Metro Writers Union honcho, so to speak?
I don't know that we've ever met. But,
I don't think so.
I got this copy of the Unruh Civil Rights Act off the Law Library website down at the Law Library in Santa Cruz, and I just ran across it a couple of weeks ago, and I was my aide pulled it up. I happened to be disabled, and he pulled it up for me, and it was kind of like a miracle finding this piece of paper.
It is. It's just wonderful. And do you have the date there on which this was passed? It's very old. I think it may well be a century old.
I think it's actually Jesse Unruh was the speaker of the assembly back in the 50s and 60s.
Oh yes, but the original provisions of the law, I think, are an integral part of California's history.
To it. That could well be. I don't know. Why don't we do some research on that and get back to when we got some more specifics for the audience out there.
Sounds good.
It's on there.
And actually, I have a point that might be of interest to you, Jerry, and to the listeners in general. The Writers Union, in hopes of gaining some sponsorship so that we can continue our activities, I'm funding the activities personally now with mine and my partner's resources, is creating a website that provides transit information for people. It's a new kind of transit information. It's practical, and it covers not just based on political boundaries, for example, the county of Santa Cruz or Santa Clara County or specific areas, because the transit agencies all follow political boundaries. We cover the whole Northern California and actually the whole California region from Santa Cruz, from a Santa Cruz point of view. So the site will tell you how to get to Los Angeles on Amtrak. The site will tell you how to get to the San Francisco International Airport. The site will tell you how to go to San Jose, just how to get around, how to go to major stores, how to save money in your economic life by traveling by transit. And it's very practical. There are pictures, there are detailed instructions, there are links to schedules and other things. But the hallmark of the site, and this is what I've insisted on personally, is that it's going to be one of the first transit websites in the nation that is fully accessible to people with disabilities. We are exceeding the basic legal requirements for disability access, and I would love to have people who use screen readers or, you know, special adaptive software or devices to access the web test out the site so that we can make sure that it is accessible to everyone. Folks who are interested can see what is already there. We have directions to the San Francisco Airport, to San Jose, to the city of San Francisco, and to Berkeley, and we'll be adding more day by day. The site's URL is iridethebus.org.
iridethebus.org. No,
very easy to remember.
Huh. Well, just don't try to do it on a holiday because there ain't no buses, right? At least not in Santa Cruz.
No, that's true. That's because Metro drivers would be paid more than triple time if they worked on the holidays, and the district cannot afford it.
Well, I have this Chapter 4 of the Unruh Civil Rights Act, which I'm going to read aloud. I think Is there more you want to say, Paul?
No, that's it. That's it. Thank you. I'm sorry for going off on all these tangents, but lots of interesting discussion today, as always.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And thank you. And did you cover your complete report on the transit district activities?
Yeah, the next meeting will be on the 12th of December, the next board meeting, and I'll call in the Thursday. That's a Friday. I'll call in the Thursday prior and give the details.
That'll be in Santa Cruz. For those of you who want to meet Paul, he'll be at that board meeting probably, and you can glad hand him. You can see if he is really, it looks like, as much like a student as the Lulu Carpenters folks think. So, hey, thank you for calling, Paul.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 96.3 FM, 427-3772 is our number. The UNRRA Civil Rights Act reads the first paragraph. The UNRRA Civil Rights Act, or UNRRA Act, as discussed in the housing chapter of this publication, applies to all business establishments of every kind whatsoever which provide services, goods, or accommodations to the public. Businesses subject to the UNRRA Act include bookstores, gymnasiums, shopping centers, mobile home parks, bars and restaurants, schools, medical and dental offices, motels and hotels, and condominium homeowner associations. The UNRRA Act prohibits all types of arbitrary discrimination, and not just discrimination based on sex, race, color, religion, ancestry, or national origin, age, disability, or medical condition. The UNRRA Act also prohibits discrimination based on personal characteristics, geographical origin, physical attributes, and individual beliefs. For example, the arbitrary exclusion of persons, individuals from a restaurant based on their sexual orientation is prohibited. You can pursue an UNRRA Act claim by filing a verified complaint with the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, DFEH, or a private lawsuit. If a business establishment is engaging in a pattern or practice of discrimination, you can refer the matter to the Attorney General's office or your local district or city attorney. Sorry. Please refer to the housing chapter of this publication for the procedures to follow and remedies available in redressing your claim for a public accommodations violations of the UNRRA Act. And then Government Code 12948 makes an unlawful practice under FEHA, Federal Housing Act, for a person to deny or to aid, incite, or conspire in the denial of rights. Actually, that's in housing. Can't deny a person membership in a private club or organization for a tenancy in a mobile home park. You
that's
can't.
Number 10.
I just read number 10. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to be looking into this. Can I keep this?
Yeah.
Or can Ed take a look at this too? Or mm-hmm. We're gonna pass this around. Check out your UNRRA Civil Rights Act. You can call in if you want. I'm going to take a brief musical break and check to see if anybody has actually emailed in or whether any emails are getting through on the email. It doesn't look like it at this time, but I'm going to encourage those who are our faithful listeners and have got new information on MHC's latest defeats. Yes, the large corporations that are attempting to take over have been defeated in other places, but they were handed a victory by the Santa Cruz City Council and the De Anza Board of Directors, unfortunately, last month. But we can fight back. That is definitely true. We've seen that because inside of less than a month, folks were able to gather, 8,000 signatures to put an issue on the ballot to turn the City Council's sellout deal right around on them. And unfortunately, they were then sold out again and persuaded not to put that on the board on the ballot by their board of directors. And I've talked about that at length, and I'm really sorry that happened. I think it was predictable, though. I think even though this particular victory might have been predictable, they've lost 10 of their 11 lawsuits, the MHC. So, I mean, come on. Why believe their propaganda? Why believe the scare tactics of the city attorney, Kennedy and Rotkin? No, not a good idea. Of course, I don't live there, you know, and that wasn't my choice, but that was my analysis from the outside. Let's hear a little from a street musician that he's actually out there on the streets getting arrested, performing, not just your occasional visitor to the streets, but a man who, I meet coming to and from jail, actually. He plays a mean keyboard. That's surreal. Let's hear what he's got to play here.
Plenty of things I can do without, but I can travel the world without missing. I have a lot of friends who I love very dearly, but you're the one who I'm kissing. I live my life thirsting for wisdom, spend a small fortune in bars and pubs, sample all the pleasure life has to offer, but what I live for now, nothing but love, nothing but love. nothing but love, nothing but love. I like to hear you laughing, love to hear the things you're thinking of. Share music and movies with you all night long. What I want from you most of all, nothing but love, nothing but love. Nothing but love, nothing but love. Nothing but love could make my heart feel this sweet. Nothing but love could make me so eager to give. Nothing but love could give me so much reason to live. I have nothing but love for you. Nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love while I'm looking at you and touching you. Nothing but love makes me do the things I do. Nothing but love makes me want to cover you with kisses. Nothing but love makes me want to spend my life with you. Nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love. I can do without, I can travel the world without missing. I have a lot of friends who I love very dearly, but you're the one who I'm kissing. I live my life thirsting for wisdom, spend a small fortune in bars and pubs, sample all the pleasures life has to offer, whether for now. Nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love. I like to hear you laughing, love to hear the things you're thinking of. Share music and movies with you all night long. But I want to be the most of all. Nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but love could make my heart feel this sweet. Nothing but love could make me so eager to give. Nothing but love could give me so much reason to live. I have nothing but love for you. Nothing but love while I'm looking at you and touching you. Nothing but love makes me want to cover you with kisses. Nothing but love makes me want to do the things that I do. Nothing but love makes me want to spend my life with you. Nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love.
Baby, Okay, it's about 10 o'clock. We're in front of the courthouse, and we're talking with
Rodney Avery.
And Rodney, you're an African-American.
Yes, I am.
And what did you just come here for?
I just came here to pay a fine of $41 for a bicycle infraction, calling about impeding traffic or stopping traffic or causing traffic to, I don't know. It wasn't any cars anywhere. That's why I crossed, because it was no cars.
Where did you cross?
I crossed on Front Street, leaving the area of the dance studio there. I guess it's Motion, something Motion, right there on Front Street, right across from the bus station, the back side of the bus station, the municipal transportation.
What time of day was it?
Oh, around 2 o'clock or so.
And when was it?
This is probably 4 months ago.
And you were stopped by Sergeant Baker and a female officer?
Yes, sir, I was.
What did they say to you?
The officer, the sergeant told her to give me a ticket, and he thought for a moment what kind of ticket she should give me. And she, in fact, didn't know what to give me either, so they conversed for a while.
Walking while black?
I beg your pardon?
Walking while black?
Yes, sir, exactly.
Or perhaps bicycling while black?
Yes, sir, walking while black. It's a really terrible thing here in Santa Cruz that there's a racial, in my belief, a racial profiling here, because I've observed, especially over on Bixby, the other side of Ocean Street, that there's one officer in particular who just stops blacks. And as a matter of fact, I discussed this matter with the officer late last night, and he kind of chuckled about it because he thought it was funny that I would think such a thing of the Santa Cruz Police Department.
What's his name?
Garcia, I believe. As a matter of fact, just about 3 days ago, I was harassed by four officers at about 5:30 in the morning because I was walking on the sidewalk. I was told to come here in a very disrespectful and it was terrible the way he spoke to me. Come here, you know, come here. Well, then what I did was I just kept walking. And he says, well, I'll see you on the other side. Well, when I got around the corner, there were three other officers waiting on me. This officer is named Barry. He's the only black officer on the Santa Cruz.
Oh, RoboCop.
Oh, is that what his name is?
Officer Perry.
Okay, so that's who that is. Well, he threatened me, and I have witnesses that he threatened me and said to me, I'll wait till I can, it'll just be you and I, as if he's going to do something to me.
What did he want to stop you for? I'm not quite sure.
He didn't say. But when he did, when he finally did get to talk to me, he jumped out of his car, and the first thing I said to him was, what is it that you want, and why are you people messing with me? You know, why are you bothering me? You know, I'm black, you know, and it seems like a black cannot even walk big streets. And it's a terrible thing, but he told me, you need to be evaluated. And I didn't understand what he meant, evaluate. He said, I detected 11550. Well, that was a threatening thing to say that...
It's an 11550.
11550, I believe, is under the influence of narcotics. I have a liver disorder, and I am a diabetic, and I take quite a bit of medications. I have hepatitis C, and it's a crippling disease, and it leaves a person very weak. So I exercise as much as possible. So I do a lot of walking and biking. But this officer told me to get out of the way. And no, I threw my jacket off and showed him my arms and told him to look into my eyes. He made no effort or no attempt to evaluate me or examine me.
You were arrested and held?
No, sir. I wasn't arrested and held then, but I have been arrested and held and detained for no reason.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Yes, sir.
How many times?
Oh, goodness gracious. I can't even count that high.
Last time it happened was?
I was arrested. I was given another ticket. I received 3 tickets in less than a week.
For?
A no bicycle bite on my bicycle. And I was talked to very rudely, and they were waiting for me. They were hiding. They saw me. Another officer saw me, radioed into another one. He parked up the street. A bicyclist passed him 10 speed on a 10 speed with a helmet and no light, not 1 minute before me. He didn't even bother that person. But when I got past him, he pulled me over and questioned me and asked me where I was going.
Second chance. When,
you're a good lawyer, by the way. Yeah, and yes,
it is.
I agree. I really like to talk to you. I'm really happy that there's someone like you who is interested in keeping things in order around here, or getting things back in order, because it is a terrible, terrible thing that our officers have nothing better to do than to harass the public. Not only that, the black public, which is not very many, you know? And I'm very hurt and disappointed that my race is being treated this way. I am hurt, absolutely hurt. We see the police coming, we go into our homes. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to greet our officers and say, hello, we're taxpayers, we pay their salary. They should be honoring us. We're the ones who help them send their children to college and for them to live in these big expensive homes and to have a Harley Davidson and a new four-wheel drive truck and being able to buy their wives gifts. And a lot of us are unable to do that. But here we are paying Santa Cruz police officers an exorbitant amount of money to keep us in line, in essence, to kick our asses. How about that? Isn't that something? They'll kick your ass if you get out of line. And so we're paying another human being who drives around with an AR-15. That is a weapon for killing human beings. It is not a weapon to get food with, to kill a deer or to kill a wild boar. It is to kill a human being. And we don't need these type of weapons in our community. And not only that, half the officers who are in control of these weapons are in their early 20s. That's a lot of responsibility for a man, a young man, who has only no more than a 12th grade education. And here they are dealing with the public. They take these tests and they go to these schools and they learn to put chokeholds on the human beings. They learn to kick you. Yes, they teach our officers to a combat technique, karate style kicks and holds and what's really the most dangerous thing about it is they have this chokehold that is, they don't know how far to take it. But instead of teaching them all these ways of how to subdue a person or to apprehend a person, instead of them being taught to do that bodily harm or injury to a human being, they need to be taking classes on how to communicate with the community on a one-to-one, to talk sensibly, calmly, and rationally with the public, and not to use force in every situation. Hypothetically, I would like to say that if there was a man who, per se, raised his voice to his wife, and the neighbor overheard it, the neighbor called the police, the police officers would come to your home, and if you didn't open the door fast enough, they would kick your door in, and when they got through kicking the door in, they would kick your ass. So here's the woman standing up over her husband while the officers are kicking his ass. Now they've gone to the point where they have drawn blood on the man. The woman is upset. She jumps on the officers to get him off of her husband. They put a chokehold on her and accidentally kill her. That's like they did that lady with a potato peeler. They, you know.
We got to cut this short. It's great stuff you're saying. Give me your name again.
My name is Rodney Avery, and I have a lot more to say because.
I want to hear it. Perhaps we can get you to call into free radio.
Oh,
thanks, Rodney.
Oh, my God, I want to talk about it.
And that was Rodney Avery at the county building when, for the last couple of weeks, I've been going to different arraignments, including my own. I myself am facing charges of playing a television set with a video about police misconduct and merchant harassment of the homeless on the avenue. The first amplified, Amplified Sound Without a Permit. It was my crime, and I'm going to court on that one. No one else I've ever heard of has gotten such a charge for playing a television set in that way, and we've been playing television sets for the last decade, but apparently Sergeant Baker decided enough was enough. In the studio with me, Glenn and Ed. I'm going to introduce Glenn because he hasn't had a chance to say anything. Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Belly up to that mic and talk, kind of talk close to it if you can.
Yeah, it's closer now.
That's good. And Glenn, I know that you've been coming to some HUF meetings, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You yourself are actually, it is true, a real homeless person. We have captured you alive, and we're holding you here in the studio.
Yeah, that is true. I hardly know any other way of living actually by this time.
And so you've been in Santa Cruz on and off for how long?
Got here first 1980, took a few year winters off, and been here all the rest of the time.
Now, are you just one of these people who sponges around, doesn't work, and are causing trouble all over town?
Well, actually, it's been a few years since I've been able to afford rent. I have an independent family income. It's too small to afford rent anymore. It's a stable monthly amount.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you've been... why don't you get work at one of the fine McDonald's in town that's offering such reasonable wages for... Well, I think you can maybe get a bigger tent.
I'm probably a lightweight by now, but the only I got offered a job one time when I was walking near San Lorenzo, and there happened to be that day nobody waiting for a job. And when I got to the job, I'd say an hour later, some heavy equipment rolls by, and I'm hypersensitive against new construction, and I was pretty sure that equipment was on me. And I overheard a homeless person talking about it, the same kind of thing a day or two later when they moved some heavy equipment on him at a manual labor job, in essence, to make a statement of replacing manual labor with machine labor. So I haven't engaged in that kind of labor in this town since.
What do you mean, equipment on you? I'm sorry, not quite sure I understand.
Well, they moved some equipment into the neighborhood to engage on a separate project, but with invisible movement along the road right in front of the house. I was picking up old house roof shingles. Cedar shingles that were being stripped off.
So you saw this as kind of the replacement of human labor with automatized labor?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that you've also been doing some work on I myself and HUF, the group I work with, is largely composed, candidly speaking, of housed people. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, has homeless people in it, but we're largely housed people concerned with the civil rights of folks who are poor and on the streets, some of whom are homeless, some of whom are not. So some have said that's a deceptive name to have for an organization. You don't represent the homeless and so forth, and I've never claimed to. But you yourself actually decided you wanted to find out how homeless people felt about issues in Santa Cruz and set out to do a survey, right?
Yeah, I've had a lot of problems, actually in a lot of endeavors, with expressing myself without an organizational support. United Nations does not recognize complaints by individuals. I've not been able to do much as an individual, and yet coalitions have been somehow elusive in terms of being able to get something. Oh, by the way, you owe me some little HUF Wednesday meeting because I've given them all out already.
There's passing on propaganda from HUF. I'll note that, everybody. This is an unpaid propaganda.
Yeah, no, actually, I gave them all out, and nobody knows about you, Mr. Norse,
well,
and my immediate homeless
profile.
Yeah, no, actually, I saw how much volume you got today. It's easy to believe.
So what about this poll? Can you describe it for the audience and what actually went into it?
Yeah, I've got it bound. I bound it so as to give it more coherency, so it doesn't get lost in the immense quantity. I mean, I knew there was quantity of it. He handles quantity. The cover, I put a little cardboard cover Xeroxing one of the entries, but I get quick response so I could do it in lines, food lines. Just says fast poll on the top, and it says, what is problem issue number one facing you as a homeless person? I didn't want to steer the answer because I wanted good raw data, and I decided I wanted just one question to speed it up. It turns out the first person answered 1 through 5, which had been a Huff complaint that we should give them the choices ahead of time, and they were all fine choices. I just didn't want to steer it, so I ended up with a hybrid solution and asked for 1 through 3, but I still didn't want to steer it. The answers were really interesting. I got a huge range of answers from people knowing the absolute insides of every homelessness all the way. I mean, that they've fought these issues so many times over, I felt new. We were just wondering whether I was close enough to the mic. I was wondering whether I might just sample, kind of randomly sample here for you, if you'd like.
Sure, go for it.
Let's see, let me just...
You actually have a relatively nicely bound, thick... it's fairly thick volume. It's a sort of a small postcard-sized response. You gave people sort of a small area, so it didn't look like it was a huge form or anything. It was a brief space in which to write, what do you think is the main issue concerning homeless people? And you got numerous. You got, must be, what, 50 to 100 responses?
Or? Yeah, I got over 100 responses. Approximately, easily 50% of everybody answered. Most of the people who didn't answer were quite new, actually. That was, I think, the major... reason for not, but there were some holdouts that I didn't expect, because I've heard a lot of grumbling by these same individuals, and I'd have to guess at what the unifying factor there is. A number of the people who I know to be racist declined to answer the form, even though they grumble quite a bit, which was turn on them. Anyway, here's one. It says people fucking with me when I don't want to be fucked with. That was the one of the first ones. The first one I just pulled out that seemed random enough. Lack of showers, especially work-related. And here's one of the knowledgeable ones I was talking about. Again, the question is, what is problem issue number one facing as a homeless person? This list, number one, Johnny Law. Number two, police. Number three, cops. So it was all concerns about police, which actually I have listed as problem number one generally. Johnny Law, I believe I had to ask him, what's Johnny Law? And he said, it's a law about, police kind of fraternal order type law. Let's see. Here's one we'd all agree, too hard to get laid. what is problem issue number one facing as a homeless person? More housing, affordable rent, more camping options. And let's see. I don't know. This is the only one of this type. But if I work 8 to 4:30, I'm not allowed to stay at the armory, because one can't sign up at past 4:30. So if you work, you can't stay at the armory. And it's really surprising, you know, the system status quo really wants us to get jobs, but at this particular place, they do not actually facilitate a person getting a job. When they have a job, they can't eat. You know, they're expected to work with no meals. I mean, they can't, like, get a tray to go or something. They don't have any special mechanism by which a person can get a late dinner if they can verify that they have employment, for instance. You know, that seems odd.
Let me interrupt here for a moment, because I want to point out to those who are hungry that at 11 o'clock there is a tasty, fancy meal at the Loudon Nelson Center done by the Pastor's Hand. Actually, it's called the Potter's Hand. Pastor Dennis Adams does this every Sunday. So in case you're out there and happen to be in possession of a radio but not enough money for a meal, or you want to just check out the local meal on Sunday, and your budget is relatively low, it is a meal open to the community, and it is at the Loudon Nelson Center. It starts at 11 and goes on every Sunday. They were serving on the street until Pastor Adams told me the Downtown Association and the police essentially frightened him away by telling him that they were going to be driving food servers out of the area, or at least out of public spaces. They were going to try to be moving them indoors for, quote, health reasons. So, it's apparently dumpster diving is a healthier activity these days than, taking food from people on the streets. At least it's healthier for the tourists who don't want to see questionable types that might, remind them of unpleasant urban realities as they're buying their latest frou-frou and knick-knacks downtown, particularly with the new business miracle stores opening up around the Cooper House. I also want to kind of throw in, I'm sorry to piggyback on you here, Glenn, but I just want to throw in very quickly. And I guess I can do this in a bit later, but, well, I'll do it now and later. I want to mention that Yon Golder, the guy who was arrested for biking, he was arrested after he was caught with a, not a bike, he does have a bike, but he also has a vehicle with a canoe on it. He's kind of been living out of his vehicle and often goes around town on his bike. He was arrested for walking his dog on the beach after 10 o'clock in the morning, and when he in essence, he was one of three people who had a dog on the beach, the only person ticketed. I've talked about this case. He essentially resisted that ticket. He said, I want to be taken to a magistrate, and when they refused to let him voluntarily go to a magistrate, he refused to be handcuffed. They charged him with resisting arrest and battery. He went to jury trial. He was convicted of resisting arrest, acquitted of battery, but he now faces a jail sentence starting tomorrow. He'll be in jail for 5 days. He has 54 days of jail hanging over him and 2 years of probation. And I wanted to quickly whip that in there. It's sort of for those of you who are listening for the update on Yon Golder. He is a man who's been working with Huff on vehicle activity. He has himself been fighting very persistently the city's apparently illegal activities in seizing vehicles without hearings for particularly poor and homeless people, but often anybody. And he's been trying to put out a flyer. And Judge Umquist, the new judge who actually tried his case, agreed that he should continue to do community service on that issue, and hopefully that will be continuing once he gets out of jail in a week, assuming they don't arrest him for anything, because now he's in a position where he's on probation. And when you're on probation, mere contact with the police, even without a jury trial, without a public defender, you can be returned to jail under a preponderance of the evidence standard at a simple hearing. So it really puts people in trouble. And that's one of the reasons I don't accept probation usually, or I've never accepted probation actually in all my long criminal career when I've been tried and convicted of different things, including serving food and so forth, because it's a difficult situation. I wanted to ask you, Glenn, you heard this, and you, Ed, too, you heard this analysis or this plea or this description by Rodney, the African-American man, talking about his concerns. Any comments on that before we go any further?
Well, it was a view into a world that I myself am not in, but for the grace of God, go I. I'm seeing conditions deteriorate for the single white male, and I'm now part of the reason for this was the potential closeout at HCRC, which is Homeless Community Resource Center, with the new construction project for family shelter, that the single male is potentially going to be closed out. They've already decided, after I decided to do this poll, they've already decided to not allow us to hang out or to have day use of the courtyard unless I assume we have immediate business, such as waiting in the shower line, using our locker. If we use the place, we can no longer hang out. Now, previously, the law had been that if we are doing nothing else but hanging out, that we are not allowed on the premises. One individual was barred because he came there just to work out with weights and had no other activity that he was engaging in, which I didn't object to, actually, because he already had quite a bit of muscle. I do worry about loss of facility, since I'm about to engage on a trip, and I want a little something here when I come back, because this is the only place where I do well in the entire United States, as awful as that is to me. And I don't think I do very well here. So, and I'm leaving the United States, and I'm not planning on living here anymore. But I will be coming back 3 months a year, and to good old Santa Cruz.